Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup. And a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on an incredible weekend across Scottish football. Hearts are now 8 points clear at the top after beating Celtic 3-1 at Tynecastle. Danny Rule gets his first win as Rangers head coach as Yusuf Tchermiti gets in amongst the goals. There were big wins for Hibs, Motherwell, Dundee United, Falkirk, and now we're straight back into another big fixture card on Wednesday. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna.
Well, it really is a crazy old world, Gordon, as you say. Hearts 8 points clear at the top of the table. Could be 11 by Saturday night. Neil Lennon and Chris Sutton squabbling on live TV about who's to blame for Celtic's slump. Yusuf Tchermiti manages to score a goal and then manages to annoy a lot of the Rangers support for his celebration. And Aberdeen have appointed a new sporting director who once stole a penguin and hid it in his bath. As I always say, the football's rubbish, but the stories are great.
And even sometimes the football's good.
Yeah, it can be. It can be. And listen, my daughter's 5.5 months old, and it's the first day I've managed to tell her Rangers have won a league game at Ibrox. So that was a good weekend for myself. But 1985, the last time someone outside Celtic and Rangers won the Scottish top flight. Now, can we start having that conversation? Is this going to be the year? Is this going to be Hearts' year?
They've started better than Aberdeen started under Fergie in 1984-85.
Well, we've been asking it tentatively every week since the start of the season. So let's ask it with a bit more gusto tonight. Can Hearts do it? Will Hearts do it? What do you think? 8 points clear at the top. Get your thoughts over to us, Hearts fans, of course. Celtic fans, I suspect you will be at varying degrees on the panic scale. I'm almost certain we'll still hear from some who say they're not panicked and it'll be absolutely fine come May. And if that's the case, then feel free to let us know. But to the rest of you, how worrying is this? Where is it going wrong? You don't have to pick one. That's the beauty of it. It's easy to simplify the argument and think, oh, it needs to be the board's fault, or it needs to be Brendan Rodgers' fault, or it's the player's fault. Clearly, it's probably a bit of a combination of the above. But what did you make of the performance yesterday, the result? Have you got any confidence that this can turn around? Or is this Hearts' year? Rangers fans, what did you see that was better? It must have been better. As Andy says, it's the first home league win in over 5.5 months. What was good about it? What impressed you? What tweaks have you noticed? What still needs to be improved even further? Because I'm sure Kilmarnock fans may well phone in and say you played your part in Rangers winning the game. It wasn't an entirely impressive defensive display there. And loads to get through from the weekend. Aberdeen thought maybe we're getting back to themselves. Then they're battered in Athens, beaten at home against Hibs. Hibs, of course, welcoming Rangers at the weekend. Motherwell, so many plaudits for their performances but couldn't get the results. Now they get a result on a day that they probably didn't quite play as well as they normally do. And there were a few moments of controversy over the weekend, as there always is to look back on a Monday evening. So give us a call right now, please, 0141 951 1025. I don't think you need any extra incentive after a weekend like that, but if you do, all this week we've got tickets to Ayr Racecourse's sensational Saturday. It's the last Saturday fixture of the season. Every caller that comes on air and makes a point to the panel goes into the hat for a pair of tickets as well. If you too would like to set the scene, please, your result of the weekend, and there's loads to choose from. No draws in the top flight.
It has to be the Premiership leaders' Hearts. There was great deal of hope and expectation among the Jambos faithful rocking up to Tynecastle at high noon yesterday, and those expectations were satisfied. A terrific second half performance, started brightly, sort of back into it, but they have laid down a marker now for Derek McInnes, and they're 8 points clear, Gordon.
Hugh Keevan's robbed of an all-timer. Do you hear him on Saturday?
No.
Hearts 3, Celtic 0.
Oh, wow.
And he was sure about it.
Well, it's about time, let's be honest.
Very close indeed. We all scoffed.
Gordon, you said there was no draws in the top flight, but there was a draw in the Scottish Cup second round, and it went to penalties, and the Chooky Hens, Ben Bubb, have made the Scottish Cup third round for the first time in their history. They've been rewarded with a draw that your good self done last night for Montrose. I don't think they're thanking you for it, that. I must be honest. But listen, delighted for everyone associated with the club. It's obviously a club that's very, very close to my family, and delighted for them.
And a great story. Sir Alex Ferguson paying for Ben Bubb's accommodation in Wick.
I was going to say to you off here as well, I believe Sir Alex phoned the Ben Bubb owner, Frank Lovering, in the bus on the way home from the Highlands. Sir Alex was in New York, had heard the score, and phoned Frank to congratulate him and the players.
A 600 mile round trip. Your brother make it back in one piece?
Just about.
Back, but not in one piece.
Yeah, definitely not in one piece after the result.
Okay, goal of the weekend. I think you had some nice choices.
Well, I'm going to go for Conor Allen at Falkirk. Now, I was having a go up producer John with the part to play that the pitch played. So, it's great assist by the Falkirk artificial turf, but take nothing away from Conor Allen, and he's... It's a brilliant run when he picks it up. He's still got 3-4 men to beat. Does so very well. And I love the finish as well, Gordon. The little roll with the solely studs and then the outside of the foot finish into the corner.
What is a centre-half doing? Rolling the ball under his studs in the box and then flicking it with the outside of his boot. No business doing so whatsoever, but I'm glad he did.
It made easier with the fact the full Dundee team are running up the pitch.
There is a bit of that. I'm sure Dundee played their part, but wonderful. Well done. What choice are you going for?
And this wacky weekend of all wacky weekends, it has to be Yusuf Chermiti. With a notable assist from Kilmarnock goalkeeper Eddie Beach.
How can it be a good goal then if the goalie chucked it in?
It was his first goal.
Oh, it's the significance of it rather than the aesthetics. Okay,
listen, it was further back than when Andy started a game. It's so long ago since he scored.
Okay, it might be one of the...
I'll be interested.
More unusual goal of the weekend shouts we've had.
But I know there was a bit of a stramash on this show last night with Andrew McLean. A few Rangers supporters unhappy at his reaction to scoring the goal. Interesting to hear from them tonight. But he has broken his duck, and the good news for Rangers fans is they've only another 3 years to wait for the next one.
Well, we'll see. Maybe it'll be the old Glasgow buses scenario. Right, where does that leave us? Howler of the weekend. You had some options.
Wow, did we have options? I tell you
everybody
what,
everybody was at it.
Because I took 5 picks each, but listen, I'm going to go for Dan Murray. I thought it was a bold call for Brendan Rodgers to play the centre-half, and you've got to say it was a game to forget. He had a part to play in all 3 goals, obviously the big one being the really unfortunate one goal. Tried to clear it with his left foot and sliced it right into the top corner.
Yeah, I suppose Celtic fans will get into that, Dan Murray's part in the performance or result yesterday. What about your howler, Rodgers?
In defence of Dan Murray, at least you knew what he was trying to do. Macaulay Tate of Livingston.
Oh, wow.
Nobody knows what on earth he was trying to do. The handball to give away the penalty against Motherwell was ridiculous.
Tell you what, nearly as ridiculous as Nick Walsh not giving it and needing VAR to help him out there, because your full bench was on the pitch straight away. You seen the arm, you seen his reaction to the handball.
How? Explain this to me. Genuinely, how? Is that just a pressure moment? Is that like your mind just wanders for a second?
I think it's just a crazy instinctive reaction to get the ball away from the danger area. And obviously, as soon as he done it, he realises what he's done. You can see that for his reaction. But unfortunately, I actually thought McCauley had done really well in the game, but obviously it was a moment that hurt his team.
Top man, top performer.
Do you know what? I nearly gave him it last week, and I must say I love watching this guy play at this current moment in time. He's my favourite player to watch in the league, and that's Kyriadis. I just don't see enough Kyriadis in modern day football, never mind Scottish football. Love how positive he is, how direct he is. Every time he gets the ball, he wants to make an impact in the game. And I thought he caused Kobe Donovan and Celtic all kinds of problems.
And of course, you being a former Hearts player, that's why you were so happy at the result of
Tynecastle yesterday
for your old team. And Roger?
I'm going to go for your mate, Elijah Just. We thought he'd get a winner for Motherwell at Livy. Denied by VAR, so he just went up the park and get an even better win to officially win it for Motherwell at Livy. The only thing I'll say though is the goal celebrations are the laziest I've seen since Gordon DL played. He just cannot be bothered.
Do we blame VAR?
Put a rocket up.
Blame VAR on that as well?
Because he seemed to be the only person that knew for sure he was offside with the first one. It was really
impressive.
Tight. I was impressed with his self-awareness.
Yeah, it was. Must be honest, you see the old iPad replays in the bench. When I seen it,
I'm not sure.
Shake my hand, it's on side, let's go. But he knew what we never knew, because it turns out it was offside.
Let's get stuck straight in on the phones. Barry's in Coatbridge. Hi, Barry.
Hi, alright, panel.
Hi, Barry.
Doing, Barry.
How does it feel to be a Celtic fan after that weekend that's just passed, Barry?
Where can I start? The management structure, I wouldn't trust them running a space shuttle for NASA, because they've just cost money for obviously the Champions League recently. So we can get my just on that. But yesterday was an absolute shambles in terms of the performance. The passing, absolutely diabolical. No passes were being made successfully. Passes getting put out. Kieran Tierney, I think he was really bad for him yesterday. Real Hatate, absolutely diabolical. Engels, the same. Just overall, yesterday the game was, I just had a funny feeling Hearts was going to win yesterday.
Well, let's pick our way through it. We're going to do this dance that we always do, and somebody will eventually say you're not giving Hearts enough credit. So yes, they were excellent, and of course they were.
That's so brilliant.
Inevitably this is Glasgow, and we'll end up seeing the negative Celtic side first. So as long as we're all aware of what's happening here, how bad was it from Celtic? Why was it bad? Barry's got his...
Well, you know, so they started, you knew Hearts would come out flying, and they didn't score a goal. I thought Celtic's response was really good for a period of time. They got level, they got the foot of the ball. Callum McGregor was exceptional in the middle of the park, and he hasn't been exceptional in the middle of the park. I thought it was really an big improvement from Callum McGregor personally. And then second half, they just didn't show up. Why? I think a combination of circumstances. You mentioned at the top of the show, Gordon, a whole lot of preamble to a performance like this. Lost at Dundee, devoid of confidence. The new signings have yet to make an impact, and a lot of the older ones are yet to make a contribution. You know, Rio Hatate passing the ball straight to Hearts players, teammates knocking the ball, you know, out the park. They're desperately missing Maeda, Johnson, Carter Vickers, Aheinacho, Jota, all the guys who are on, you know, long-term injury list, if you like. And it would be a worry. It's clearly a worry for Barry, and I think it will be a worry for Celtic supporters, because there's not that uplift you were expecting to see from them by now.
Sure, like overriding feeling on it, Andy, will no doubt work through it all, but just to kind of sum up.
To sum it up, I thought Hearts done the basics a lot better than Celtic did, and I thought for me that was typified by Hearts' second goal. I thought Hearts' back four in particular flung themselves at every cross, flung themselves at every shot, and their attackers were positive when they got the ball. Now, I flip into Celtic, I thought their attackers were pretty passive when they had the ball, and their defenders nowhere near enough desire to get close to people, make contact, tackle people, fling their way into shots and crosses. And for me, the basics of the game was the biggest difference between the two teams.
What do you think is the biggest factor, Barry? Because we said it earlier, we're probably going to get away from this notion that it's only one thing. It has to be recruitment, plus Brendan Rodgers, plus the players. It has to be a bit of it all. What though? What's like the main gripe yesterday?
I think I might sound a wee bit dodgy when I say this, but I think Brendan Rodgers has actually chucked it in terms of tactical wise. I mean, he made the changes later on when we were 3-1 down, straight after the third goal, he made the changes, whereas he could have made them before.
Yeah, it feels like the longer this goes on, clearly the manager's going to come into more focus, Roger. Post-transfer window, that took the headlines. Kaira Almaty, etc, etc. But now there's specific moments where people are saying, well, Brendan Rodgers, you picked Austin Trusty. You picked Dean Murray over Austin Trusty. You took Tonetke off. And that's before we even get to this stuff about tactics and chucked it, because we've done this before. And I keep saying to people, what is it? Why would Brendan Rodgers be trying to do something different than he was last year? Yeah. I'm assuming he's not. But there are no specific things that fans are picking up.
After the 1st of September, I think everyone needs to park the transfer window stuff, because it's not helping Celtic. Brendan Rodgers...
But how can you if you then look at a squad and think that's just not where it should be?
Well, listen, fans aren't going to park it, but what meaning was internally they need to park it. Brendan Rodgers needs to work with what he's got. Now, we're talking about it as if it's a threadbare squad. You look yesterday, on the bench was still £6 million Austin Trusty. And the team is £11 million, Arnie Engels, plus £5 million Tenecki, £5 million Ballack Weish on the bench. Mm-hmm. Andy Hallery's Motherwell, your Motherwell, they'd love one of them,
sure.
Never mind half a dozen of them. So sympathy for Celtic's plight will be in short supply out with Celtic Park, if you know what I mean.
See, on that though, I wonder if that's the word that muddies it, because I don't feel sorry for Celtic.
No,
it's not about sympathy, but the point, is the squad good though?
The point I was going to go on to make was, and I remember Celtic winning 4-3, coming from behind at Tyne Gossett, win 4-3, and Greg Taylor got a winner. When Shanklin scored the penalty yesterday, Gordon, there was still more than half an hour to go. And in the good old days, you would have got really ready for the Celtic siege to come, and it would go 3-2, and maybe 3-3, and maybe 3-4. At no stage yesterday, did you think Celtic were getting back into the game? And people have said for ages, there's no fear factor taking on Rangers anymore. And they're correct. It's getting to the stage with the likes of Hearts, and maybe even Hibs, there's not the same fear factor taking on Celtic.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about Rangers, Russell Martin at length, and how they're not hitting the levels where they have to be at, but you still feel as if that group of players has enough to beat your Dundees at home and your Dundee Uniteds at home. I feel the exact same way about Celtic, but I just don't think Celtic have found, you know, Brendan Rodgers was talking about Celtic's DNA and how they're expected to play by the fan base, and Brendan Rodgers done it. They haven't found it yet. It's as simple as that. But I think they have the personnel to get there. Is it better than last year? I think it's a completely different question. But I think they have enough in the building to still
to
win
be top
this league,
of the league,
to still beat Hearts and Dundee. And if actually, I was just looking at there, Gordon, I hadn't even realised this. I was just looking at, because we all know Celtic struggles going forward and the lack of goals that's in the team, which has been everything you associate the Celtic team of being, and especially last year with Brendan Rodgers. Celtic have scored 12 goals after 9 games. To put that into context, Hearts have scored 22. Teams that have scored more is Hibs, Dundee United, Falkirk, Motherwell, Kilmarnock. Livingston, who are bottom of the league, has scored one less goal than Celtic after 9 games.
Is there a bit of a shift though? Because people keep saying it, and of course I know why. Look, it's still Celtic and most of the players are still there, and they should have enough. But is that shifting a little bit? Dane Murray, no disrespect to him, I'm sure we'll go on to him, wouldn't start for Hearts. Johnny Kenny would not start for Hearts. Kizaridis would start for Celtic. Lauren Shankland right now would start for Celtic. So you haven't always been able to say that.
Okay, so ask me the question on the league.
Who's going to win the league?
I think Hearts will win the league.
Okay.
I think Hearts at this moment in time have the best squad in the league, are in the best form. Now, a big part of that is from Wednesday's game against Sturm Graz. As soon as you see Cameron Carter-Vickers go off and then you hear that he's out for the season, Alistair Johnson with a recurring injury, Ian Acho with an injury, at that moment in time, I felt going into this game at the weekend, it was a massive opportunity for Hearts. One that they would have severely regretted if they never got it done. And if I was predicting a league winner right now, I think it would be Hearts.
Let's ask Mark in Cumbernauld his thoughts. Mark, as a Celtic fan, will Celtic still go on and win this league, or has that now changed?
Good evening, gents. How are you doing?
Hi, Mark.
Doing that.
I'd be hard pressed to think that we could win the league this year.
Really?
I'm 46. I've seen Celtic I've been a season book holder for a long time. I'm on the show every now and again, talking about the team and the games. And I listen to Andy speak a lot of sense, actually, and Roger. But I've got my issue with Celtic at the minute is, and I know we've spoken about the front line, but the guy, the wee man at the back, the centre half at the back, had a shocker. However, Celtic's biggest issue is scoring goals. Now, you kind of answered my, you kind of said my post before I came on here, Gordon. Johnny Kenny isn't going to get into half the Scottish Premier League teams. We've no front man. We've got a guy, Shin Yamada, who's played maybe half an hour of football, 45 minutes of football this season. The manager brought him in for £1 million, doesn't fancy him. We've got Johnny Kenny, who was never good enough for Celtic when Ange Postecoglou was the manager. Or before that, when he was signed by Neil Lennon, I think. He wasn't good enough then. He's never going to be good enough now. Celtic have got, and Rodgers bang on, you know, they have spent a lot of money. They had Austin Trusty, £6 million on the bench, 2 wingers. They had a good bit of wealth in that team, but it's the most lopsided football team I've ever seen. Celtic have no right winger, none. You know, they've got James Forrest, who's nearly 35 year old. He can't play 90 minutes. He can barely play 45 minutes a game, even though he is pretty good. They've got another guy at right wing, Yang, doesn't want to be there. They've got a striker who they're depending on now in Maeda, who doesn't want to be there, and because he's injured, Celtic's lost all punch out their front line. I've been to see them the last few weeks. They have got football in them, and they have got a good side in there, but the way the manager's setting them up, or I think Andy said a few weeks ago, football players will use every excuse but blaming themselves when they're not doing well or something. And I think that's right. I think the plight of the fans and the disappointment of the supporters and the manager as well, it's very easy for a lot of the Celtic players to maybe, you know, drop the, when they, that penalty went in, like you said before, the charge would be on and Celtic would be hitting them. But it's easy for now to, his head to drop, you know. And in my opinion, yesterday, that second half, Callum McGregor was playing midfield himself. And at this level, the way Celtic are playing now, they just can't do that. Yeah, that's just my one of my points.
Hard push to see Celtic winning the league, says Mark. What's your take on it? Andy Haldy's gone in for his, Roger.
History would suggest Celtic will win the league.
I noticed they are still bookmakers' favourites.
Yeah.
But I'm still waiting
to hear who's Roger's favourites.
Mm-hmm. I think Celtic will win the league still. Because Hearts, you know, we're looking at Celtic yesterday without five guys who would be in the first team. So half the outfield players were missing injured. Hearts will have a situation at some stage through the season where they have injuries and suspensions. Hearts have started to go to Celtic Park twice. They have to go to Ibrox once. They have to go to Easter Road twice. They have to go to Pittodrie at least once. That will
beaten be all of those teams so far.
Yeah, but that will be a major examination. They've not beaten any of them other than Celtic yesterday when they've been really in a title race. I would love to see Hearts win the league. I think it will be the best thing that happens for Scottish football in many, many years, but I'm not convinced they will. Celtic will get Maeda back, Jota back, Iheanacho back, Carter Vickers back, albeit not till near the end of the season. They'll get Johnson back. They will invest in January. There is no doubt about it. People talk about Tony Bloom's money. You should see Dermot Desmond's money. So,
what if it's invested the way it has been this window? What if it's another 5 million on someone like Balakwisha, or 6 million on Austin Trusty, or 11 million on Arne Engels?
Listen, they need to get it right. They do need to get it right. But history would suggest to me that they will get enough right that they will still win the league.
What do you all think out there? Let us know right now. We'll speak to you next. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah are here. Andy Halliday saying he thinks Hearts will win the league from here. He's a former Hearts man, of course, though his loyalty's very much lying in Gorgie. Hugh Evans has been on, though, to say you're just copying him. He says what Shug says one day, Halliday repeats the next.
I'm going to reverse my prediction then, because he gets 1 in 100, right? So
he's been calling him champions elect for a few weeks.
Shug also said that in 1985-86, and look how that landed.
He remembers that because that was the year he turned 60, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it's always easy for him to remember.
He was at Dens Park that famous day of Albert Kidd, and all the action was at St Mirren Park, the old Love Street.
I got a few messages over the weekend saying, why is Hugh referring to Hearts as champions elect? There we go. You never know. Neil is a Celtic fan. Are Hearts champions elect? Neil, what do you think?
Honestly, I think as long as Brendan Rodgers is there, I think Hearts are favourite.
Wow.
And I'll need to explain what I mean. Brendan Rodgers putting, the first point is very small, but him putting Dane Murray in yesterday from the start was borderline reckless. Hearts is always probably the hardest other than Ibrox trip to go to, and that's not with them being top league. You could go there and they're bottom of the league, they could still beat Celtic in any day. But to put him in with Colby Donovan right next to him, Nygren on the right wing, and Ingles, there's no that whole left side, no wonder that the new Hartswinger, who's amazing, no wonder he was getting the ball every 2 seconds, because that's if you're Denny McInnes, that's what you're telling me to do. So I think that decision by Brendan Rodgers was terrible. But my main point is Brendan Rodgers seems to be thinking that, oh, I said I'd stay at the end of my contract, so I'm staying at the end of my contract, but he seems to just be going through the motions. Seems to, I think we all 99% know Rodgers is away at the end of the season. So my problem is, in January, do you give Rodgers money? We need players, but they're not going to be Rodgers players because he's not going to be here. And then also, Rodgers just doesn't, I don't see him going in a 10. People keep saying, oh, Hearts will falter, Hearts will falter. Celtic need to be perfect and Hearts need to lose 3 games just for us to regain the lead. I don't see us going in a 10-game winning streak in this league. I just don't see it. And it just seems to be that Rodgers seems to be acting as if, oh, I said I'd stay, I'm staying, it's a boat, like, and has we digged at the board? Oh, that's my another point I said to one of my mates. Rogers calling the whole team Honda Civics or club or whatever. Is this not the guy that said last year that Celtic fans were disrespecting Greg Taylor by singing a Kieran Tierney song? And he's went in public, in the media, and said, oh, we're Honda Civics. What does that say to every player in the Celtic dressing room? I mean, he doesn't mean Callum McGregor, so he obviously means the players are coming in. No wonder half the players aren't fighting for him.
Brendan Rodgers out, says Neil, essentially, in Mount Florida. Roger, are we at that stage?
Nothing quite at that stage yet. And actually, you talk about the team selection, but I was surprised when I saw the selection at 10:45 yesterday, because I'd expected Brendan Rodgers to put Antonio Ralston, Austin Trusty, because that's tends to be what he does. He tends to go with a more experienced vote. And I was actually quite pleased from a general Scottish football point of view. I thought, that's great. You know, if you throw in Tierney, three of the back four, Scots, reared through the Celtic Academy, that's the kind of team selections Celtic should be making. And I'm not actually convinced Tony Ralston or Austin Trusty would have done a better job yesterday. And I know Dane Murray in moments, as Andy said at the start, had unfortunate moments, but there were parts of the game that I thought he actually played well in. You know, if you don't throw in Donovan and Murray when Johnson and Carter Vickers are not in the team, when on earth are you ever going to play these guys? You need to know, you need to find out about them. So I wasn't too bothered about the team selection, but, you know, Neil's right, the players at the minute, you would doubt, and I've said they'll win the league, and I believe that, but I agree with you, at the minute, as things stand, they don't look like a team that's going to go on a lengthy winning run.
It's brilliant having hindsight, Andy, and having watched Dane Murray do what Dane Murray did yesterday. And like, we obviously own goal, gave away a penalty, and possibly at fault for not trying to block the second. So that speaks for itself. It's hard to then remove the hindsight, but what do you think? Neil says it was reckless to play him instead of Austin.
Well, I actually said it last week, so it's not really a hindsight, that I thought that one of them would play, and I thought it'd be Colby Donovan. The reason I thought that is because I didn't think that Brendan Rodgers would go away. Two players playing alongside each other with such inexperience in what, I don't know, maybe 30 games between the two of them in their career, never mind just for Celtic.
Who, Donovan and...
Donovan and Dane Murray.
So it'll be fewer than that, I would imagine.
Yeah. Whatever it may be, I didn't think it would go with such inexperience playing alongside each other. Now, if I use... We spoke so much about Dane Murray. If I use Colby Donovan, for example, I mean, you could see for the first 15 minutes that Kizaridis was already, you know, having a field day in terms of the amount of space that Colby Donovan was giving him. I think with an experienced centre-half alongside him, I just think that would have helped in terms of talking them through the game. So that was the full reason that I didn't think it would be two of them alongside each other. And listen, I think you've got to say, I think two of them struggled. But individually across the board, I mean, I have no idea what's happened to Rio Hatate. You know what I've said about him on this show before. For me, on his day, I think he's the best player in the league. I've just not even seen a real Hatate performance from him at any point this season.
That moment in the first half when he gave the ball away in his own half to the Hearts player and it finished with Kizaridis sclaffing the shot wide was incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely incredible.
Neil, to do the old devil's advocate routine, Dane Murray's 22 years of age, not 17 or 18, he is 22, and we are always crying out for players to be given a chance, and you never know, it could be the making of them. We even had a number of calls on Friday night, and I'll get them dug out, saying, Cameron Carter-Vickers hasn't been in good form anyway, this can be a chance for someone else. And then that's before we even get to the tactical stuff, which is not really my area, where, you know, he's right-sided and Austin Trusty's left-sided. So can we have it both ways? Is it reckless? He's 22, not a kid.
My problem isn't really with Dane Murray, because he's going to make mistakes, he's young. It's Rodgers putting him in that team with the team performing the way it is, but also Nygren is not a right winger, so he's already playing that position. Colby Donovan, I wanted Colby Donovan to start, and I wanted Trusty to start next to him. I said to everybody I talked to, you can't start the two young guys. Trusty and Donovan, I like Ralston. I really like Andy Ralston, but Donovan needs a chance. He's shown him up, but they just shoved Murray in. Murray has made very fleeting appearances this year. He's been at fault. I heard in the show yesterday the errors that were listed off, the Aston Villa era, the era for the goal at Braga, but that's all from I'm just getting shoved in a team that's not performing well. Mm-hmm. You can't. I don't mind having, and 22 is not really a good accurate there's players like Lamine Yamal, who's 17, who's played hundreds of games. How many games is
that's
money
fair.
Paid in years?
No, that's fair. I just mean in terms of that, like, this sort of real sympathetic notion of poor boy getting chucked in sort of thing. I don't know, because if you didn't worry, you want to play and you want to stand up to these. Yeah. It feels like the Benjamin Negrin inclusion is the perfect collision of the two arguments about who's to blame here, right? Because we keep saying that everyone wants one solution. Neil said, you know, why pick Negrin? Brendan Rodgers, you're the manager. Why are you picking Negrin at right wing? Everybody can see he's not a right winger. Fine. Who else do you pick at the moment? So it's, you know, it's easy to identify the problem, not so easy to identify the solution. Because I don't think he looks a good fit there, do you?
No.
Anybody?
No.
But who does? Who should have played there yesterday?
Well, for what's available to you, I probably would say James Forrest. Now, again, that is probably on a basis of hindsight, given how Negrin played at the weekend. Where I had more probably question marks regarding Brendan Rodgers was his substitutions, because I thought the one... Now, again, probably not enough end product for his what he's shown in flashes so far, but I thought I thought Tenecki, for me, was probably one of the only pass marks again for Celtic. I agree with Callum McGregor's performance in the first half. I thought the decision to take Tenecki off was a real strange one. And then, to be honest, bringing Benjamin Negrin off, because I just thought once James Forrest was coming onto the pitch, it was Arne Engels off and top goal scorer Negrin staying on the pitch, going in his more natural position. So I think that was where I probably had more question marks regarding Brendan Rodgers.
Thank you, Neil. What about Ryan? Will Celtic still go on and win this league, Ryan, or is this Hearts year?
I'm honestly not quite sure. Prior to the game yesterday, I had that thought in my head that we were in a genuine title race, because Brendan Rodgers will be gone in the summer. He just will. And up until then, he'll not change his tactics, he won't change his formation, and the club will not strengthen in January. They'll sign players, but I don't think they'll sign enough to strengthen the whole squad enough to catch up maybe 8 or even more points in the summer.
When you say that, you know, Brendan Rodgers won't change the tactics, what would you do? What solutions are there based on the kind of players that you've got and the form that some of them find themselves in? What does fix this out of the players that are in the building?
I'm genuinely not sure. I just think a better kind of decision-making. I go each week and it's just side-to-side, slow. The amount of passes I would love to know between Scales and Carter Vickers at the end of the season will probably blow your mind. There's not enough kind of forward intensity or playing through the middle. It's just hit the wings and see what happens. It is just genuine, as if he's just kind of picked... He's kind of best at what he's got. Go out there and try and score. There just doesn't seem to be very much else happening other than that. And there also is, he hasn't been at it this year. He hasn't been at it for a real long time. It's just, you wonder what he needs to do to get dropped. I would definitely have McCowan or Bernardo in there ahead of him. Even just to kind of let him, you know, ruminate on it for a couple of games and see, and maybe want to fight back for his chance in the team. But I do know we are at bare bones just now, but I had thought, even prior to yesterday's game, this will be a real title challenge this year.
Well, listen, there's undoubtedly a real title challenge, Ryan, and it's coming from Edinburgh, as Andy's tipped them to win the league. Celtic, the Falkirk on Wednesday night, as you know, I won't read too much into the team selection, because you would think 3 games in a week, Falkirk at home in the middle of it, there's going to be a degree of rotation. The team for the semi-final against Rangers on Sunday will fascinate me. Does he stick with Donovan and Murray together in that area? Does he bring in Ralston and Trusty? Does he bring in one of them to get a bit more experience? Does Negrin stay out there on the right? Does he go with James Forrest on the right-hand side? Does he stick with Johnny Kenny? Could Shin Yamada come into the team? What about the midfield 3? You're talking about leaving out Hatate. McCowan must be an option. Bernardo must be an option, because neither Hatate nor Arne Engels have really stepped up this season. It will really fascinate me to see what he tries to do. Could there be a googly? Could Balak Wisha play through the middle? I mean, I remember Celtic winning a League Cup final with Lewis Morgan at centre forward against Rangers. So there's always a scope for something unusual in the lineup. But, you know, if you'd said to me 3 weeks ago, Ryan, or when the semi final draw was made, you would have thought you could have picked the Celtic team more or less to a man, and you wouldn't have had a clue about the Rangers team. Now you can more or less pick the Rangers team and you won't have a clue who's going to start for Celtic. It's bizarre.
Ryan, is Brendan Rodgers still the man to turn this round?
I don't think so. I just think there's probably a lot of different aspects to this, but as I say, I just don't think he's kind of really got in him to really, really switch things up and try and get, you know, the other team guessing. I think everybody knows exactly what we're going to do every game, and I think it has been for a while. This season has been a brutal watch. It really has. And yes, the squad could be better. I mean, it can always be better every year, but if you can't get a tune out of what you've got there, then you're not the man to take us forward, you know. And to go to Gordon's, the point about the semi-final, he does have a decision to go with experience or the players that are ever so slightly playing better than the other option. You know, I would play Donovan because he seems to be a bit more direct, but then you've got, you know, Ralston's got that more experience, stuff like that. But I think Dane Murray only played yesterday because he had the right foot, because Brendan Rodgers said he wanted balance in the back foot. That's fair, but in a game like that, as important as that, even though you would just go with Austin Trusty, even though it's two left-footed centre-backs.
If you remember, Ryan, Trusty and Scales played together in Atalanta in the Champions League last year and got a 0-0 draw.
Exactly. So why wasn't it good enough yesterday?
And
you know, it doesn't make any sense.
This is where it's going to be so interesting, because clearly Brendan Rodgers is the manager and he needs to find solutions, and what's happening at the moment isn't good enough. Those solutions don't seem clear, though. I mean, we've had calls in the last few weeks talking about maybe Inamura could come back in, and we had some shouts for Shin Yamada, and you offered one, which is fine, and he's been a brilliant player, but it would still be 34-year-old James Forrest.
There's no one nailing down their jersey.
It feels like a real task to find the solutions at the moment.
And again, Celtic have got some big fixtures coming up. No, obviously, probably none bigger over the immediate future of the semi-final next week.
Don't fall for his trap. We're not picking the team for Sunday on Monday night when we've got a lot to look back on.
Come, I'm up for it.
Ignore that he brought that up.
But, you know, is Dizzy made a back fit? Obviously, that'll have a big part to play in what the Celtic team is and what the...
3-1s for you. Jamal Simpson-Pusey.
Who, sorry?
I mean, where is he? Full stop.
Played in the Champions League for Manchester City. Is, by all accounts, fully fit. Hasn't had 1 minute of football for Celtic.
But I tell you what, I think it was the previous caller, Neil, that said it, you know, regarding Dane Murray being hung out to dry. I think the words were easier. I don't agree with that analogy, but what I will say is I think Brendan Rodgers would realise, I'd like to think, yeah, I think he's probably realised that he's made a mistake in terms of the two inexperienced players playing alongside each other. I'd be really shocked if the two of them played this weekend against Rangers.
Okay, thank you very much to Ryan on the line, 01419511025, if you want to give us a call, and please do. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. Get your calls in just now whilst I tell you about this.
Oh my God.
Make me a winner at Halloween. Woo-hoo. Clyde One.
Here's the beauty of Make Me a Winner. We know there's a sensational amount of money to be given away. What we also know, Roger Hanna, is that I don't have the sheet in my desk, and I'm going to have to try and remember the details off the top of my head, which
is the T's and C's.
This is just unthinkable.
Oh my goodness.
Can I speak long enough that producer John or somebody sprints into this studio and hands me
a sheet of paper?
Did you see me frantically scrambling?
£1 million Super Six thing that they do at the weekend? You need to get 6 football scores right. And when Bruno Guimaraes scored the winner in injury time for Newcastle against Fulham, it won a gentleman from Falkirk £1 million.
Wasn't John, was it?
Well, when I walked in tonight, I was quite surprised to see him. I presumed it must have been producer John, but no.
There we go. £666,000 it is. You see it, Halloween.
£666,000,
obviously. See what they've done there. Very clever. Mm-hmm. Serious amount of money. So get involved and we'll take more of your calls next.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Well, Johanna and Andy Halliday are here, joined now by Craig and Bayliston. How are you, Craig?
Hi, good evening, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hope you're all well.
Craig, it feels like tonight's the night where you just ask the question quite bluntly about the title, and will Celtic win it from here? What do you think?
For me, the answer is no. So forgive me, I've only just kind of started listening tonight. So if you have mentioned this,
no, don't you worry.
Then please forgive me. So the next time, if I'm correct, Roger, you're a bit of a stats guy. The next time that Celtic, apart from playing during the week, and then I've got the cup game, then they've got a European game. Am I correct in saying if things didn't quite go how Celtic would like, Hearts, if they keep the momentum up, they could actually be 14 points in front by the next time Celtic play a league game after that? Is that correct?
I know Celtic play on the Sunday after away in Denmark against Midtjylland, and I'm trying to buy time here because I'm trying to see what Hearts fixture is. I have a feeling Hearts play on the Sunday as well. Because right. I have a feeling there's a mad Saturday where there's only one 3 o'clock game, and then okay. there's maybe a 5:45 or something like that.
Why does no one take Clyde One Super Scoreboard into account? Sunday the 9th of November, Hearts play Dundee United at 3.
And Celtic right. play Killie at 4. So technically you're right by an hour, yeah. That's right.
At that point, so I think 8 points as it stands just now, Celtic will find it difficult to pull that back. And I'd say to your producer there, see if the shoe is on the other foot. All the Celtic fans and other clubs would be saying, just these the title just now, because these aren't going to catch us. You know,
yeah, Celtic win 14 clean, yeah.
Aye, that's the way it's been, you know historically. And I know you mentioned earlier on about history would say, you know, that. You know, Celtic could have got a chance to pull us back, and you know they're potentially, you know, going to be champions. I just can't see it. I just it's got so many feelings about this kind of COVID season to me, and you know I've just got this feeling that Hearts are just going to kind of just keep disappearing over that hill. See the way Rangers did, you know, during the we were kind of, you know, we'd get a couple of wee games and we'd win, and then we'd drop a few points, and Rangers just kind of kept that momentum and went over that hill again. And I just think Hearts have got, you know, a wily old experienced manager and McInnes. And it just seems to have them, you know, absolutely motoring just now. And I think Celtic are just kind of stuttering all the way. I can't see it. And I know you think Celtic will still be champions, but I just can't see where it's coming from, mate.
Don't worry, Andy doesn't. Someone put it to me that way earlier as well, Andy. It must be a theory that's out there that if Celtic were this far ahead, you'd be saying the title's over. But then that, it just is different, isn't it? Because they've got that track record of having won stuff, and you don't know how players react when they're leading versus being chased. But you couldn't have asked for a better gap if your Hearts, because they've done pretty much everything they could. We mentioned that they've beaten the top five now from last season, beaten every single one of them. If your teammates had just been a bit more resolute, you were 3-0 up at Tynecastle. but they do look like they're well beyond that. That looks like strength and depth. So they've got so much going for them before you get to the failings elsewhere.
Yeah, strength and depth. They look really defensively solid. They can score goals for set pieces. They've had comebacks. They've scored in the last minute. They've got goals throughout the team. I just think they have every facet of their game clicking at the minute. Now, from Celtic's point of view, up until 2 weeks ago, I'm saying that Celtic will win the league, because Brendan Rodgers, Celtic have went through blips before where they've not quite performed well, and they've always found their level. They've always clicked into gear. But we're nearly at November. So for me at this moment in time, they just don't have it, and they might not get it until January. And by that time, I do feel like it's more likely that Celtic will drop points than Hearts will. If it gets to May and Celtic have won the league, would I be surprised? No. Mm-hmm. But I think at this moment in time, I think Hearts look the stronger outfit.
The great thing about this week is we don't have to hang around very long. It's not as much as everybody's getting excited and the points gap, and I get what Craig's talking about. It's not inconceivable that Hearts going to drop points in Paisley, because St Mirren are very good at what they do.
Yeah, St Mirren knocked them out of the League Cup in Paisley earlier in the season.
So, just need to wait and find out,
I guess. There are a lot of things going in Hearts' favour. I think no European football is something in their favour.
Yeah, sorry, quickly on that. That's, you might know more than this on what Craig said actually about the schedule. Celtic need to play 7 midweek games before the end of January.
I think that sounds
Hearts
right, yeah.
Hearts play 2, yeah, I think. Could that play a big part?
I think it will. I mean, Andy will know better than me, but it gives Derek McInnes more time at Riccarton to work with the players. They're out the League Cup. You know, Celtic could have a couple of League Cup games as well that Hearts won't have because they were knocked out at St Mirren. I think it all leads to, you know, more preparation time for Derek with the players, more rest time for the players, or not travelling around Europe or anything. I think, you know, when Leicester won that title in England, all of their rivals were involved in other competitions that they weren't involved in. I think when Chelsea last won the league, did they not win it under Antonio Conte when they weren't in Europe that season? They'd failed dramatically the season before, and, you know, they credited the rest time that they got with that.
And also, Roger, I think it guards against what you're saying, which I thought was a very, very valid point about injuries. So you're going Saturday, and you don't have these excess games. You know, it was really interesting, Craig, you know, mentioned that it's got a lot of resemblance to the COVID season. I actually looked at the stats at this moment in time in Celtic's COVID season. Celtic had 8 more points at this stage during the COVID season, and they'd scored 13 more goals.
The Rangers team that won the league, and they won about the 7th of March, the Rangers team that won the league is stronger than the current Hearts team. And that Rangers team went through the season invincible. They didn't lose a single game
in the
league.
That's the point, then. Celtic were 8 points better off, so that is also the point.
So Hearts could afford to be...
And as I've said, I'd love Hearts to win the league. I can't see Hearts getting through this season invincible.
But that's the whole point. Based on what Andy's saying there, this Hearts team could afford to be a bit below that Rangers team and still win.
Listen, you might find this season's league title is one with a record low points, and that's no criticism of anyone. It just shows there's a levelling out here.
Well, Craig, we appreciate your time, and don't forget, Craig is in the hat for the tickets to Ayr Racecourse's sensational Saturday, and everybody who comes on and makes a point to the panel goes into that hat as well. So get involved in the second hour of the show whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on down, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see who can get a victory on a Monday night. It's a tough school, but the bigger they are, the harder they fall and all that. So 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. It's 01419511025. No surprises for guessing. The main topic in the first hour was that game, that result at Tynecastle yesterday. It leaves Hearts 8 points clear. Where does it leave Celtic's title hopes, though? That is the big question. Loads to get through. Danny Rule got his first victory as Rangers head coach. What did you notice, Rangers fans? It was obviously better, so how much better? In what way was it better? What worked? What still needs tweaked? Chermiti scored as well. And the old yapping hand celebration. Is that what we would call that? I don't know how it's working on YouTube, but I don't know if it works for radio.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're gesturing that people are talking about you too much.
You look as if you're sooty and the puppet's falling off.
But anyway, there was a lot to get through from that game yesterday and across the board from the weekend. Let us know and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. I've had a quick glance at these questions, and I know you two are sizeable football brains, but you both start on -1, and I think these questions tonight are brutal. Absolutely brutal. John,
I think he's trying to psych us here,
is on the line. How are you, John?
Hi, good evening, Gordon. I'm well, thank you. Yourself?
Yes, all good. Have you ever played before?
I have not, no.
Right, okay. Who played last week?
Ten out of ten, Halliday.
Yeah, I'm not optimistic with the brutal introduction there.
I think sometimes the producers just have a bad weekend, and then they like to take it out on
producer John's team. Won again.
Yeah, that is true. Maybe he didn't make the questions up. Anyway, let's go through them with the coin. First of all, to determine who plays, the blue side will be Andy Halliday. The red side will be Roger Hanna.
The brutal questions.
So tough. Right, what we'll do here, John, is we'll give Andy something else to listen to. You then have 30 seconds where you answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer. Ready, John?
Sure, go for it.
Okay, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Before Danny Rühl, who was the last German to manage in the top flight?
Pass.
What squad number does Paolo Bernardo wear at Celtic?
Pass.
Who's currently bottom of the entire SPFL?
Livingston.
Which manager was in charge of Hearts when they finished second in 2006?
Jim Jeffries.
True or false, every SPFL team has now won at least one league game?
False.
Connor Allen was released from which team before joining Falkirk? Scored at the weekend.
Pass.
Okay, let's bring in Andy Halliday. You ready?
Yes.
I think they're too hard tonight, honestly.
Think they're too hard?
was the last German to manage in Scotland's top flight?
Michael Vimmer.
What squad number does Paulo Bernardo wear for Celtic?
24.
Who's currently bottom of the entire SPFL?
Edinburgh City.
Which manager was in charge of Hearts when they finished second in the league
George
in 2006?
Bullock.
True or false, every SPFL team has now won at least one league game.
True.
Conor Allen was released from which team before Rangers. Joining Falkirk? How many own goals were scored in the Premiership at the weekend?
Two.
Lee Griffiths, Anthony Stokes and Chick Charnley all played for which club?
Celtic.
Okay. 30 seconds were over. John, how do you think it went?
I think I'll need to enjoy my donut.
Well, they were hard though, and I know he turns up and shows off and starts answering them all confidently, but see if it is a zero, John, you have my sympathy. I think there would be a lot of zeros out there, because usually I quite like to sort of raise the standards
first one
a bit.
Cheating for me though.
Hi, well, I'm going to take the first one off, Andy. Before Danny Rule, who was the last German to manage in Scotland's top flight? It was Michael Vimmer.
Do you want to text me today?
No way.
I'll show you. I've no spoke to him since I left, and
just out the blue.
Quite a random text as well. I'll show you.
That's Motherwell really manager random. To pick Andy as well.
Saying what?
I can show you.
Like, just ask him what you're up to. Ask him why you've had such limited game time this season when you were his player of the year. That's incredible. Michael Vimmer, where is he again? The German fifth tier or something.
Last night, sorry, not today.
Do you know what? I like that. Hello, Andy, spelt with an I at the end, but listen, it's not his first language, my German's hopeless. I was scrolling through my phone and came across your profile picture. How are you all, especially the little ones? You've only got one, but that's fine. Maybe it means your teammates.
Yeah.
Wishing you all the best. Continued success in sports and health. I think that's nice.
Nice, man.
Well done, Michael. Very random, I must say.
I know, I thought that myself.
Anyway, 1-0 to Andy Halliday, except he starts on -1, so we're level now. Beat the pundit. What squad number does Bernardo wear? 28.
It's my worst nightmare, that.
It is. Bottom of the entire SPFL, so all the leagues, is Edinburgh City. So Andy Halliday gets it. Goes,
tell you what, if they didn't have that points deduction though.
Yeah.
It's going extremely well.
Yeah, it goes one in front. Are they back at zero?
Zero. Yeah,
they're now at 0 points, aren't they? So, okay. The manager who's in charge of Hearts, closing the question, when they finished second.
Baldass Ivanauskas.
2-0. Andy Halliday. True or false? Every SPFL team has now won at least one league game. What did you say on that one, John?
I
think you said false.
I said false, but yeah.
John, it's even when the 50-50s are going against you, that's when you need to worry. It's true. Cove and Airdrie were winless, but they won at the weekend. Connor Allen, who scored that brilliant goal for Falkirk at the weekend, was formerly of Rangers, and I must admit I did not know that, but Andy Halliday did, so he is running away with it, John. And you saw this coming. The donut is there. Two own goals in the Premiership at the weekend, Clark Robertson and Dane Murray, and Lee Griffiths, Anthony Stokes and Chick Charnley. Roger Hanna,
Hibernian.
Hibs, not Celtic. You were close, but I'm afraid, John, you predicted it. It was a zero, but I do have an element of sympathy. I thought they were tough. They were tough. Who's your team, John?
Rangers.
Cheered up any after yesterday? A step in the right direction, was it?
Yeah, absolutely, a step in the right direction, and yeah, optimistic for the road ahead, and hopefully they've turned a corner here and they're able to progress with positive momentum.
Well, that's quite a lot. If it's enough to make John optimistic about the future, how much has it moved your dial, Andy Halliday?
Not much, but no, not through much fault Danny Rowe, that's for sure. I do think there was elements of the Rangers game that was improved. I thought off the ball, I thought they looked as if they played with a lot more energy, a lot more intent. I thought they forced Kilmarnock into errors in the higher end of the pitch. A big criticism I've had of this Rangers team so far this season, that they've not managed to do so. Still think they look fragile, defend their own box. I think there was a couple of occasions, one particularly at the start of the first half, where James Tavernier almost scuffs a clearance. They managed to get a shot inside the maybe 8 yards. Obviously, the goal comes from an error for Jack Butland, but then he recoups with an unbelievable save for a header for Bruce Anderson to stop it from being 2-2. I still think, even though they scored 3 goals, obviously get the goal disallowed for Nico Raskin, I don't think it's quite clicked in the forward areas yet. I think after the 55th minute, Rangers had only had 4 shots on goal at home to Kilmarnock, and I didn't really see, to be honest, Gordon, where the goal was going to come from at that point in time, given the first goal came from a wide free kick as well. But then you've got to say, fantastic delivery for Jade Magoma, who I thought had his best game in the Rangers shirt. Great header for Danilo. I thought the nerves settled for there, and I thought they played really well in the first 30 minutes. But see, a big sort of praise, sorry, for Danny Rowe. I know I'm going on a wee tangent here. I had a criticism with Russell Martin that I thought somebody might be able to tell me a stat. Say he made 70 subs for Rangers in his time. I don't think it ever affected a game, a result, a performance. I thought every one of Danny Rowe's subs that came on the pitch made an impact in the game.
3-5-2.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, I tried to kind of envisage what it was going to be when the team lineup came out, and I actually thought it was going to be lopsided. I thought it was going to be James Tavernier high and wide right, Gusama high and wide left,
and Magoma tucked in.
When Magoma tucked in, and then maybe Danilo and Miosky as a two, with Asgard playing in behind them, but obviously it was the other way about. I don't know how much it worked, to be honest. The first half, I don't think they were great. And it's got, I've got to say, Gordon, I think a lot of the, you know, criticism and critique with the recruitment is went towards Chermiti, such was such an outlandish fee. But Bojan Miosky for me is really struggled. And I thought he had a really poor first half, and then I thought the substitution at half time made a difference to Rangers.
Chermiti, Roger, well, he's just guaranteed to take the headlines one way or the other now, because if he's good, then that the redemption has started, and people will say he's worth the fee. If he's anything close to bad, everyone's going to be on him because of the fee. He scored yesterday. The Kilmarnock keeper really, really helped him. But then maybe he needed that. I don't know. Is that sometimes? It used to be the cliche, you need one to get off your backside. He needed one to get off the Kilmarnock keeper's palms.
Yeah. I don't think he helped himself with his celebration, I have to say. I mean, you haven't scored for that long. Maybe there's a wee bit more humility to you. The Killy keeper should have kept it out. But he's got his goal. It might lift his confidence. It might lift his self-belief. We'll be fascinated to see if he gets a start at Easter Road on Wednesday night, because, as Andy's saying, Bojan Miosky hasn't really set the heather alight. Do you go to Easter Road against the Hibs team who work that 3-5-2 expertly well? Do you go there with Jiri Gusama as a right wing back and Miosky and Danilo up top? Are there concessions in that, you know, system if you go and play it? Does Mike Amiel start in place of Miosky? Does Chermiti start in place of Miosky? Could you go to Easter Road with Chermiti and Danilo? I'll really be fascinated to see. Or does he try and give some fringe players a game at Easter Road and hold back some of his first picks for the semi-final?
John, the Chermiti goal, you know, I guess the hope from you will be that it is the start of something, and that he can kind of defy what's been a difficult beginning to life at Rangers for him.
Absolutely. Hopefully it's the first of many. These are a lot of these players that came in over the summer, they're very young, and they've walked into a very difficult environment over recent weeks, and hopefully they can be guided towards you know, success, and be guided sensibly away from that kind of extra heavy weight that's been put on them recently, you know. But yeah, absolutely, I wish all the players all the success in the world.
Good man.
Hopefully they can kick on from here.
Thank you very much. That was John in Paisley. Can't believe I'm going to ask you, Mr. No Celebration, what you made of Chermiti's celebrate. Maybe he should have had no celebration. Maybe he should have copied you. Does it matter? I've seen loads of people say they couldn't care less. I've seen other people like Roger saying,
I can't particularly say I liked it, because I do think a lot of the criticism towards him, to be honest, is more for the fee that Kevin Fairwell spent. Obviously, some of it due to his performances as well. But I must admit, Gordon, that having watched every Rangers game so far this season, do I think he's done well at this moment in time? No. But I look at him and I see a 6'7" profile who is an Olympic sprinter with pace. He's 21 year old. I do think there's a lot to work with to develop him and get the best out of him. The fact of the matter is, it's not his fault that Rangers paid such a ludicrous fee for him. But at this moment in time, he'd be my starting striker for Rangers.
Okay. Well, let's bring in Rob in Drumchapel, see what he took away from yesterday. Rob,
how you doing, guys? All right?
Good, thank you. Good.
Just ask Roger, how long should he wait then, Roger, before he celebrates? I'm just interested.
No, he can celebrate. I didn't think I actually thought he let himself down with that sort of cheeky wee thing to the Rangers fans. I think Andrew McLean had calls last night, Rob. You know, for Rangers fans complaining about it, they didn't like it either. They thought he was having a pop at them for their criticism in the past. This might ignite him. He might go on, you know, Andy's saying he might go on and, you know, start games and score goals. He's certainly got all the attributes for that. But until that goal went in yesterday, you have to admit, none of us had really seen any of that quality from him.
See, if I'm sitting in the stand and a guy does a shoe sight to me and he's banging in 25 goals a season, I don't care.
I agree with you, but he's still got 24 to go.
Aye, I know, but yeah, I mean, you've kind of waxed the lyrical, haven't you, about his attributes and everything else, and also about the fact that the fee, blah blah blah. But the boy's young; he's coming to a new country, a new environment. It's a new culture. I think he'll get there. I genuinely do think he'll get there. And the reason why I think it's because of the manager there just now, Rowe. I think he's come in and he's kind of been under the radar a wee bit in terms of the stuff that he does with the fans. He's basically kind of, he's on a mission to basically get the kind of the support of the team kind of working in harmony. And you know yourself, Andy, you played at Ibrox, but when the fans are kind of supporting you, at Ibrox is a much, much different environment to play in, feeling kind of having every touch and every you do good, you know?
Oh, definitely. But I think it's got to work both ways, Rob. I think, you know, I say this to even players that play for any club, but you can't just expect fans to stay on side for 90 minutes if they're not getting anything in return. So if Rangers players play with the same energy, passion and intensity that the fans have for the first 5 minutes, they'll stay with you. If you don't, they won't. Now I look at, no, last Thursday against Brand, for example. Last Thursday against Brand for me was as bad as any performance this season. Out with probably Club Brugge. Do I put blame on the Rangers manager? Absolutely not. He was in the door for 24, 48 hours, had basically no time on the training pitch to improve. But when I flip it to the weekend, although I don't think that the performance was great in the first half, the energy was there, the enthusiasm was there, the intent to work hard was there. So for me, I think Rangers fans are honest enough that they will stay with you if you do these things. And then eventually, obviously, you can try and click into gear, which they've done so in the second half.
What in particular did you like, Rob, or did you see that you think can be built upon?
Well, you know what? I think a few of you guys have touched on also about how Rangers players have had their best game in a Rangers jersey. I don't think that's a coincidence that this guy's in the door now. Do you know what I mean? Like some Magoma, the big guy Chamiti, I thought Big Cornelius was brilliant yesterday as well. I just think the guy seems to kind of have a fresh approach about him, and Martin was very, very much his own man and didn't want to change. But this guy's willing to change, and even the shape, the system, how we're playing, and he's wanting guys to take 2-3 touches, move the ball, and he's looking for this kind of intensity for 90 minutes. Rangers yesterday, after on 85 minutes, were still pressing with high intensity and no gain, Kilmarnock a second on the ball. That's the difference, I think, is the enthusiasm, the energy, the shape, and even playing with the 3-5-2 yesterday, it kind of let Rangers press higher up the park than, like, obviously the 4-3-3 that Martin used to play.
It does look as if he's seen things that the previous manager hasn't seen, Rob. You know, I wouldn't have necessarily thought Gassama could play as a wing-back, but he knows him from Sheffield Wednesday and clearly trusted him to do that yesterday. I was surprised when, you know, Danilo was involved on Thursday night, albeit only come off the bench for a little while. Surprised when he started yesterday. But he's got his goal. You know, I was surprised when Chermiti came on because he hasn't done anything so far, but he got his goal. As Andy's saying, Magoma's best game, Moore's best game. You know, Cornelius was involved more than he's maybe been in the past. So there were a lot of positive signs. But you know yourself, he needs to kick it on with that. He needs to go and avoid defeat at Easter Road on Wednesday night, and then he needs to beat Celtic on Sunday.
Thinking, yeah, I mean, this might be out of date if it doesn't go well on Wednesday, as Roger said, Andy. But see, because if we're being honest, the Rangers bar had come down so low. We're talking about everything had been missing, and nobody had really even put in any good performance, obviously, like Gassama and so on, but some of the players Rob mentioned. So it's not ideal. You would never choose this to be your circumstance, but what it does allow you to do is then find positives, because when there's been none, you then, as Rob says, well, that was Magoma's best game, that was Cornelius's, but, and you just need to try and make those little positives add up. I know Roger and I disagree. Roger felt it could have got worse when Danny Rowe took over. I thought that was pretty close to rock bottom, and then the only way is sort of up if you're good at what you do.
Yeah, and see at this moment in time, Gordon, to be honest, I mean, Rangers going to play Easter Road Easter Road on Wednesday, and see at this moment in time, I couldn't say with confidence I think Rangers will win that game. No. I just can't, based on what I've seen for the players and the team through far this season. But again, I'm not labelling that as a slight towards Danny Rowe at all. I think he's been given a really tough task with the squad that he's got, in a really tough moment where they have such a congested fixture period coming up. So I think it's going to take time. Again, at the weekend, I didn't think it was great for large parts, but see, while it it isn't great and you don't have a lot of time in the training field, can you just win? Can you find these wins to go over the line and sort of build a bit of momentum where you can then try to implement your ideas? And obviously, listen, it's a start. I half joked about it at the start, but Rangers not winning a league game at Ibrox for 5.5 months, I mean, it's just incredible to even repeat that sentence. So, listen, they've done the most important part was getting back to winning ways and continuing it.
What did your daughter say when you told her last night?
Funnily enough, she never said anything back, which I thought was a wee bit cheeky, but I might get more soon.
Didn't do that.
It was, this is the thing, Roger, no fixture has been easy for Rangers. So, it didn't matter who came there five and a half months, they've made every fixture look harder than it needs to be. What probably did happen in isolation yesterday, if we just very quickly give a nod to Kilmarnock and their part in it, they are all of a sudden looking very ropey defensively, aren't they? If you take the Hearts game last week,
I thought they were poor against Hearts. It was sort of the authors of their own downfall with the defensive mistakes, and they repeated them against Rangers at the weekend. It was a pass from a Kelly player straight to Germiti for the third goal, but that's not Rangers' fault. You know, Rangers in the past, when that equaliser from George Stanger went in,
would have rocked them.
It would have rocked them, and they might not go on and win the game, and they have gone on and won the game. What did impress me was the calm nature of Danny Rule after the game. He wasn't getting carried away. He wasn't saying anything silly. He was talking about baby steps, probably because he's looked at the fixture list and knows it's Hibs away, Celtic at Hampden and Roma at Ibrox. So the next three games will test Rangers again. If they can come through that little run, you know, with a draw against Hibs, if they could somehow win a semi-final, then, you know, the Danny Rule era would be off to a sensational start.
Thank you very much to Rob in Drumchapel. He's in the hat for the tickets to Air Races as well. You could join him. Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. Every caller who makes it on air tonight goes into the hat for a pair of tickets to Air Racecourse's sensational Saturday. It's the last Saturday fixture of the season. Loads to look forward to. We'll do that every night this week, and then we'll up it on Thursday with Legend Lounge tickets as well. So all we need to do is make a point to the panel. You're in the hat. You can also get tickets, of course, air-racecourse.co.uk. I've got a good teaser for you tonight, sent in by your old sparring partner, the Crazy Pony. You ready for this?
Go for it.
So which 10 former Scottish top flight players have made the most appearances as a teammate of Steven Gerrard? A really good question, this. Which 10 former Scottish top flight players have made the most appearances as a teammate of Steven Gerrard?
Charlie Adam.
No.
What?
Gary McAllister.
So, yeah, Gary McAllister is, yep.
Wait, hold on. How is Charlie Adam the one? Repeat the question.
Well, I didn't want to do this that early for you, right? But I will. It's probably to do with the numbers. So to be bottom of this list, you need to have played on the pitch with Steven Gerrard 30 or more times.
And they're Scottish?
No, Scottish top flight
players. Oh, sorry.
So they've just played in the league.
Okay. Cole Turi.
Gordon Dalziel did climbed into your brain. And
sorry. I thought I said Scottish, sorry. Cole Turi.
Cole Turi is indeed one of them, along with Gary McAllister.
Craig Bellamy.
Yes. 54 times. All right, let's leave it there. Which 10 former Scottish top flight players have made the most appearances as a teammate of Steven Gerrard? Let's bring in Scott, who's a Rangers fan, and see what he took away from yesterday. Scott.
Hiya. Hello, panel. Hello, Gordon. How's it going?
Oh, good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. I just wondered what you actually thought. I know it's early days. One decent result at home now for Rangers at the start from the start of the season. But do you think that when we brought in some of these signings at the start of the season, Ant-Man, Gassama and stuff, they seem to almost hit the ground running. But with Martin sticking to his guns, more or less, with the formation he wanted to play and the style he wanted to play, do you think that maybe that had an effect on these guys and their ability to take that forward? And with, obviously, now a new manager coming in and changing this formation, and maybe he will start getting a tune out of these players. You know, because you look at, obviously, Chimiti with this big price tag as well. Had he been brought in for a lot less money, I think Andy touched on it earlier, and he was starting to, you know, show some potential putting the ball in the net, even just for what he'd done in the game at the weekend. I think, do you think the opinion of him would be different?
Well, the reason I say it, Scott, is I played with a player that came in at such a young age, was really raw, but had loads of attributes. But he came for, I think it was £1 million in Alfredo Morelos. And every professional player will tell you, they'll judge you if you did or when you're a teammate. And I would never have predicted Alfredo Morelos to be the striker he was for Rangers. Now, I look at Chumiti and I think, like I say, you look at the profile of the player, 6'6", 6'7", extremely quick. Again, really raw technically. So I think there's loads for a manager or a coach to develop and bring out his potential in him. The issue he's got, as I said, is Rangers paid a ridiculous fee to secure his services. For me, that doesn't make it right. But what I will say is I think he has a lot to improve on, and I think he can. Now, to do that, I think he has to play, and he has to learn, and he has to make mistakes, and he has to develop. And I think Rangers fans have to allow him to do that and be patient with him. Will he get that? I'm not too sure, given his price tag. But for me, at this moment in time, I think he's the best option for Rangers to play.
Is that the way it might have to be? Because when you look at the, you know, let's take last week, because he was getting loads of stick, obviously, during the week. Then yesterday comes around, and, you know, we're all talking about scoring the goal, but he didn't start the match. You know, we spoke about the weekend. You're going to have to find out all this stuff about Kevin Thelwell and the fee. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to play him, but he actually didn't start yesterday. Yeah. So, do you think, how quickly does he become a starting striker again, or actually, is he left out again from the start? What's the best way to try and accelerate this?
Listen, Danilo got one as well. I thought Danilo took his goal well in off the post from a really good cross by Jaden Magoma, as Andy mentioned earlier. They're all competing. You know, I don't think Miofsky's done enough that he could regard himself as undroppable or the first choice striker or anything like that. It'll be interesting to see how Danilo treats Easter Road on Wednesday night. Whether he rotates, whether maybe Chermiti does start the game with Mikey Moore off him or something like that, we don't know yet. And whether he views Danilo and Miofsky as a front two to take on Celtic in a cup semi-final, or whether Wednesday night is going to be the evening where Rangers players get the opportunity to grab a jersey for Sunday for Hampden. You know, whether he gives the likes of Chermiti and Danilo a go and says to them, listen, you scored at the weekend, go out and score again, you're starting Sunday.
I think that's the way it just has to be at the moment, Scott, where, you know, if Danny Rule said as much about kind of short term thinking, where I've no idea, I doubt he does want to play three at the back long term for Rangers. He might not even do it again, but just find solutions at the moment, just win some games and just try and build up some sort of momentum.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's the case anyway, but it's like I say, I think that one of the things I said was with the other players as well, I think I hope there's a bit of potential now for them as well, because when these guys, when the first kind of start of the season, the European, you know, qualifiers and stuff, look to Gassam, the goals he was scoring, then Ant-Man and his debut night as well, he came on and I thought, just we're right in there, somebody here, we've picked up a couple of tackles here, and then obviously it just fizzled out very, very quickly, as we know, you know. Just to see what, I mean, hopefully these other guys will start to actually perform now as well. Surely maybe see some potential in, especially Gassam, you know, he's kind of been the better signing. But even Ant-Man, when he first came on, I thought he's actually going to be something good, you know, especially with his pace.
It's kind of snap judgments both ways at the moment, Andy, under the Danny Rule era. It's so early, there's not a lot to go on, but what can you do? Anything else personnel-wise that you thought did work or did look like they've got a spring in their step? And then on the flip side, anything that you'd still be, any individuals you'd still be maybe expecting a bit more from?
Well, again, the ones I touched on, Magoma, Moore, Cornelius, and I think a big thing with these players, Gordon, is that I look at Magoma, for example. I think in his time so far at Rangers, I think he showed flashes in a forward sense, and I think he's really struggled defensively. So I mean, the position and the role he played in the team on Saturday probably suited him, because he was almost like a left winger at times. He was high and wide, and he never had a direct winger up against him to test him defensively. Mikey Moore as well, you know, almost having a free role to play off a striker, drift into space to get the ball and attack. Now, on the other side, you're talking about being a bit more critical of certain players. Now, I say this player because I do feel, Gordon, this boy has so much more to offer, and again, it's Asgard for me. I watch Asgard and I see, again, kind of what I was saying about Chermiti, is a big profile, 6'3", quick, strong, and really good, really technical on the ball. But a lot of it's really one pace for me. I don't think there's a change of gear. I don't think there's enough intensity. And I don't think there's enough that's affecting games. And obviously, some of the best attributes you can have as a player, I say, is when you affect games and you affect big games. At this moment in time, Asgard's got one goal and it was a brilliant goal. Yeah. But I don't think he's doing enough in the final third for me. And again, the reason I'm quite vocal about my criticism of Asgard is I think there's a real player there. I really do. And again, he's young. And again, he's got time to develop. But I think he's got so much more to offer than he's shown just now.
Just out of curiosity, Scott, most of this question's been aimed at the kind of Hearts-Celtic side of things, but based on yesterday's result at Tynecastle, what can Rangers achieve from the league table this season?
Well, I was listening to the show on Sunday and one of the callers actually came in and he actually made a good point. I think what Rangers really need to be doing, providing things actually do start clicking again, is to be hanging on more to Celtic's coattails, you know, and get back to where, at least up there, and then look going forward from there. But I do think, like, the way McInnes has got Hearts playing right now and his experience as a manager, he's a good manager, he's shown that through the club he's been at previously, that this could be a good thing for Scottish football if Hearts could actually do it and win the league this year. It wouldn't upset me as much as Celtic win the enemy.
I know that much about the rivalry. Thank you very much to Scott on the line. What about Ross, though, who is a Hearts fan? Andy Halliday says you're going to do it. Ross, what do you think?
I don't see why we can't do it. I think in our favour, we've got one game a week, whereas Celtic have got two games a week, plus all the internationals as well that go away. We haven't had one international being picked. The only one was James Wilson for the under-21s or Gordon on the bench, but that's about it. So to have one game a week and have the energy, the stamina to play those games and concentrate on just one game a week, it's brilliant, you know, because we never had that in 1986. So I don't see why they can't do it. What? Everyone thinks that they'll falter, but...
And what is that, right? What's the... If you have a worry, what is it that Celtic have got that experience or Celtic splash money in January? You tell me. If there is something that's holding you back from saying we'll definitely do this, what is it?
No, Celtic have got, Celtic have got the money, Celtic have got the experience, but, you know, Hearts are buying players that are working in this league, and they're buying them from places that probably clubs like Celtic and Rangers probably wouldn't even think of, to be honest. They're buying them at cheap bargain prices as well, so they're getting them for next to nothing. They said they've only spent $200,000, really, and that was because of the Penrice deal that they got. So at the end of the day, the more it keeps going, if the points tally keeps going up, I mean, it could be 11 next Saturday with Celtic playing in the Premier Cup. 11 points is a hard lead to pull back, no matter who you are, because it gives Hearts something to fall back on. Because even if they drop a couple of points here and there, it's still a big lead.
Yeah, it really is.
And it puts all the pressure on Celtic as well. So, and you know what their fans are like. Rangers fans are the same with their team, and the Celtic fans will be exactly the same.
It's a good point Ross makes. I don't know if people saw those comments. A £200,000 net spend for Hearts. Rangers net spend, the reason I remember that is because Kevin Thelwell said it was a £20 million net spend. I actually can't remember specifically what Celtic's is, but it's big, it's very big as well. For Hearts to be doing this on a £200,000 net spend, fantastic. Brilliant, isn't it?
It's absolutely fantastic. He's breathed for his life into this Premiership. Good luck to them, Ross. I hope they keep this going right to the very end. It's something fresh, it's something new, it's something exciting. Hearts fans, yourself included, have every right to be as excited about this as you want. And if it goes to 11, I think one of the callers earlier on was saying Hearts play at 3 o'clock, Celtic play at 4 o'clock the weekend after that. It could go to 14. Can you imagine that?
Just thinking about the time, you see that hour's difference. I'm always worry about Hugh this weekend, see if he's changed his clocks. He usually catches him out
remotely, wouldn't he?
You know, genuinely, I'm sure that he told us this before, he's got an alarm clock that he's had for about 30 years and he doesn't know how to change it. So for half the year, it just remains out of sight.
Those grandfather clocks, you need to get somebody to come and turn them
manually.
You know?
Back to Hearts quickly, away from Hughes. Clock. It's the combination though, Andy. Look, the Jamestown stuff's great and it's exciting, Keyes, Aridis and Braga, but actually they're the only two right now that are properly in the team every week and, you know, catching the headlines. What about the old faithfuls? Craig Halkett, I know Stuart Finlay was brought in, but he's an old faithful as far as Scottish football is concerned. Mm-hmm. And Lauren Shankland, everybody knows he's going to score goals, that's obvious. But what about all the people that said he won't be able to press in the way that... I thought he ran his socks off yesterday.
Yeah, he did, not only pressing but running back. We all see that run he made to stop the counter-attack towards the end of the game. And I think you're spot on to say that, because, you know, you look at Hearts as a team and as a squad, and for me, I said Keyes Reid is my favourite player in the league, but I look at the back two and Craig Halkett and Stuart Finlay and say that they've been comfortably the best centre-half partnership in the league so far this season. Yeah. And not only have they been the best defensively, they've also contributed 9 goals between the two of them, which is why I say, when I look at this Hearts team, I just think they've got a bit of everything about them. I reiterate, I think they're good going forward. I think they're strong defensively. I think they're lightning quick on the counter-attack. I think they're great at set pieces, defensively and offensively. They've scored goals in the last minute. They've obviously got a 3-0 comeback in their locker. So everything that's kind of getting thrown at them are tested at them. Yeah. They're passing all the tests just now.
Even the defence, just quickly, I know it's not the most exciting eye-catching element of this, but you mentioned Craig Halkett and Stuart Finlay. This is a defensive unit that, in reserve, has Frankie Kent, Jamie McCart, Steinwinder. That's ridiculous depth, and I know it's not the most exciting position.
You talk about depth. I look at the one area in the pitch and I think, where can Hearts improve when it gets to January? I think you would probably say that right-hand side of midfield, even though Harry Milne's doing extremely well, it's obviously not his natural position. And the 1st of January, Hearts have one coming in.
Yeah.
Who's that? Is that a Kazakhstan?
Chesnikov.
Chesnikov. Yeah. So again, it's already an area that they've got moving forward.
Right back, it's remained a slight issue for him. I mean, Ocean McEntee's done really well when he's filled in.
Well, Moskriving, the Norwegian, was the guy who was signed to do it. He got the injury at the start of the season.
And you wonder if the jury's still out on him. Anyway, thank you very much to Ross. Ross is optimistic, as a lot of Hearts fans are. What about this teaser tonight? We're looking for the 10 former Scottish top flight players, so not Scottish by nationality, played in Scottish top flight, who've made the most appearances as a teammate of Steven Gerrard. Craig Bellamy, as an example, played with him 54 times for Liverpool, of course played for Celtic. Gary McAllister, Kolo Touré, any more?
I've went a different route.
Don't mind it.
Jermaine Defoe.
International?
Yep.
Yes, 35 times.
And Joe Hart?
Yes, 30 times.
Well, I'm going to give you Stefan Honcho.
Yes, he is top 160 times. He played with Steven Gerrard and he of course played for Celtic.
And my last go at this is Robbie Keane.
Yeah, and I could have predicted the order you would do this in, because two of the three that remain are particularly difficult.
I know them. We'll see if we know them.
We'll see if we can get them when we return.
Oh my God.
Make me a winner at Halloween. Woo-hoo. Clyde won.
£666,000 up for grabs on Make Me a Winner. It is an incredible amount of money. For £2.50 plus your standard network rate, you get 15 entries by texting YES to 61025. For 100 entries, text BANK to 61025. But those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03-434-269-340. And the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only. Online entry and all the rules for this network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close 5pm Friday. Text YES to 61025. Good luck.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
That's us into the final part. A very busy show, as is often the case on a Monday, but particularly after a weekend like that one. On the Pundit Predictor, though, it goes on again. Every Friday we give you the chance to show that you can predict outcomes of football matches better than our pundits, which shouldn't be hard. All we ask is that you get three results or three outcomes. You don't even need the score line, but three results for £1,000 it was at the weekend. James only got one. honestly, I can't believe this has rolled over this much. But the good news for you is there is another £100 in the pot. It's now £1,100 this Friday. Clyde One Super Scoreboard, thanks to McNair's Building Supplies. That's all you need to do. Tune in on Friday for your chance to win. Right, how are you two faring on this teaser? We're looking for the top 10 former Scottish top flight players that have made the most appearances as a teammate of Steven Gerrard. Onsho, Bellamy, Robbie Keane, McAllister, Toure, Colo, Defoe and Hart at international level.
What are we going for at the last four?
I'm going to go neck out time. Gregory Vignal.
No.
I told you that's the one though.
No, you didn't. You told me he was the one.
Oh no, sorry, sorry. Aye, you're right. That was my fault. John Flanagan.
No.
Oh,
I was like, honestly, see if you could hear what I heard during the break. They were so confident,
here we go.
So smug. Halliday, and I quote, says, "We've smashed your teaser out the park."
How about Sotirios Kyriakos?
No.
Oh, we're toiling Ngog. Down, isn't it?
Who?
Ngog.
David, yes.
Ngog.
Well done.
Okay,
Ross County.
Let's leave it.
That's
there.
That's the one I said no to do it the four.
No, I, to be fair, I agree, right, with you.
That's a cracker, because he played for Ross County quite forgettably and played with Steven Gerrard 53 times.
I've just got another one. Is he Ross County as well? Cinema Pongo, was he?
Florence Cinema Pongo.
Wasn't Ross County though, was it?
Kelly?
Dundee United.
Dundee United.
Correct. Leave it there. You've only got one to get. That's, you've got the two hard ones, David Ngog and Florence Cinema Pongo. Anyway, right, so let's, how are we going to recap the rest of the stuff in a couple of minutes? Roger, you were at
Tannery's.
Lots of big calls. There was, I mean, obviously I've taken a lot of content from around the game at the weekend, and I heard some genuine outrage that Alex Gogic had been sent off.
You mean by Michael
some
Stewart?
Furious reaction. So I thought, I cannot wait to see this. This will be a howler, and it will be a stick on for the VAR review with Willie Collum. It wasn't what I was
you
expecting.
You know something, the angle I saw it at, I actually thought Alex Gogic had just been too strong for Nicklimo. I thought he'd sort of shouldered him and muscled him out the road, if you like. And it wasn't until I saw the TV footage later on in Saturday night, I saw the sort of extent of the challenge. It wasn't really clear from where we were sitting in the press box, but it was a howler. He'll get a 2-game ban for serious foul play. I think it's cross, it's, sorry, competition specific, as the SFA say.
Was it?
And that's my understanding.
Oh, right. I thought he would be banned for the semi.
No, I don't think he is. I think he's banned for the Hearts game. He's back for the semi, and then misses St Mirren's game after that.
Andy, look, we do this all the time, and we acknowledge it. Alex Gogic hasn't tried to do that, but it's not really relevant.
But I can't believe the amount of people still use that.
I know, it's just a red card, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It allows you to have a bit of sympathy for him.
Yeah, which what I was going to say, I do feel for him. He's obviously going in to try and stop the cross or block the cross, whatever it may be. But it's actually really ugly when you see that camera from behind the goal, and you see the angle of where he catches him. It's apparently a red card.
However, where St Mirren hard done by, did Shamal George handle outside the box?
I think he's in the box. But it's really close.
It's hard to tell, isn't it? And then it's a quirk of, like, without, we've not got enough time for a wider VAR debate, but we're under the impression, it's there to try and help clear things up, but it can't wade in on free kicks.
It's the strangest of things, because if John Beaton had decided that by handling it outside the box he was denying a goal scoring opportunity and sent him off, it can go to VAR. Yeah. Because he's just booked him, it can't go to VAR.
I think,
and then Zach Zapser, by the way, really good free kick.
That's what I was going to say. If you reduce it to sort of what it is, you're asking a linesman with the naked eye to assess, is it in or outside the box at full speed and all that, and we could be talking millimetres. Yeah. The problem is it ends up in the back of the net from the free kick, and it becomes this big injustice. And I've heard people saying, you know, if the linesman, I mean, he has to be sure. I guess he thought he was sure.
To be fair to the linesman,
whether he's right or wrong,
the linesman flagged straight away and brought John Beaton's attention to it straight away. He didn't duck his responsibilities.
But if you can understand where Stephen Robinson's coming from.
Yeah,
I mean, if he feels it shows that it turned the game,
because St Mirren had bossed the first half. Dan and Lundaloo could have had a hat trick. They could have been out of sight. They weren't out of sight. They get punished for, you know, Zach Savile's free kick, and United won in the second half.
Some Mondays they dominate things, but the title race has got enough in it. Was one of you gave a howl? Did you give the howler for the Dundee Falkirk one, or did you not in the end?
No, we
ended up right. With so many.
So you didn't. What do you think about
that?
I'll
tell you what, we just mentioned Dundee United game. You were at Craig Sybil for a goal on the weekend's unlucky as well.
Again, from last week.
I don't know what he's going to do this weekend.
Right, quickly,
the last 2 weeks.
In the interest of time, how big a mistake, if there was, between Dundee and Falkirk and Dundee?
Dundee have, I think the phrase is sought clarification from the SFA today. I thought it was a penalty kick.
Penalty kick, mm-hmm. All day.
I thought
all
it was a penalty kick. I thought the referee and VAR got it wrong. But I'll stand to be corrected by your friend Willie when you do your next VAR show. I understand why Ethan Hamilton was penalised. I don't agree with it though.
In real time, you can kind of get it, Andy. It's the because rightly or wrongly, every time a player goes in with that stud kind of dangled up, they get penalised. But should VAR? Do you think VAR should have?
Yeah, I do think so. I don't think there's force on it. I don't think there's enough there. And then I think when he wins, the ball is cleared out.
Right, one more on the teaser. So we're looking for the 10 former Scottish top flight players who've played the most times with Steven Gerrard as a teammate. Ongshaw, Bellamy and Gogg, Keane, McAllister, Cinema Pungol, Toure, Defoe and Hart. Are you out? Are you out?
I thought we'd cleaned up 10
guys,
minutes ago.
It's an easy one.
Oh, you're
second
joking.
On the list. Really? 66 times.
Liverpool and England.
Liverpool. Not English.
Robbie Keane, did we say Robbie Keane?
Played for Rangers.
Oh no.
Rangers and Liverpool. Come on, Andrew. You're special in subject.
Seriously, Andy.
Danny Wilson, anyway.
Seriously.
Frank Kent, it's no Shea Ojo, it's no.
Oh, no. Higher profile than those guys.
You can help me out, by the way.
His nationality. Here's your race. You'll get it straight away once I say it.
Yeah.
Senegal.
El Hajj Diouf.
Thank you for all your calls and your tweets and for listening. We're back tomorrow as we build up to another big midweek in the Scottish Premiership. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.